This podcast episode is part of the 9th QED Changemaker Forum held in May 2022. In this season, I will be speaking with industry leaders to learn their perspectives and hear their professional experiences on how they innovate for growth and innovate for sustainability as part of the larger innovation economy. Join me as we discover how organizations today can converge their long-term sustainability goals and growth ambitions. I'm your host, Ryan Lim, Principal Consultant at QED Consulting. Our guest today is the Senior Partner of NCS Next. She heads the team to develop digital strategies that help clients transform their businesses through the implementation of innovative solutions. With over 15 years of digital marketing leadership and experience, she is passionate about organizational transformation and using digital to unlock value. She also leads the five growth pillars across NCS Next, which includes cloud, data, digital, products and platform, and of course, solutions to help customers harness digital technologies and frameworks. Let's welcome Wynthia Goh to the QED Changemakers podcast. Hi, Wynthia. Thank you for spending time with us today.
Hey, Ryan. Thank you for having me.
Also glad to have you back. Just a bit of a disclosure, Wynthia and I go way, way back, right? So this is another past life for another podcast. Now, we'll be discussing about the innovation economy. But before we do, could you tell us a little bit more about NCS Next?
So NCS Next is the part of NCS that's especially focused on digital transformation. And a lot of focus areas are into capabilities, technologies and solutions that we believe is going to be especially important for many of our clients as they embark on their own digital transformation journey. Those cover areas such as digital services, data science and AI, cloud, and also industry-leading solutions from partners.
So what do you do as senior partner then?
I spend a lot of time talking to clients about what's on their mind, how their business has been disrupted, and how they expect to respond, and what are the ways that they could do that? Can they innovate? And ultimately, what kind of solution should they put in place to respond to those business challenges, as well as to pursue new areas of growth?
Thanks. And you just came back from your trip, I think, Australia, right? And yeah, you probably see it all around from your returning to travel that the world has actually slowly recovering from the aftermath of the global pandemic. And I'm not sure if you've seen, but there are fundamental shifts in perspectives, behaviors, and expectations from key stakeholders to consumers. Now, given this landscape, do you think that perhaps innovation may be a key ingredient to tackling this disruption and perhaps even for organizations to thrive?
Ryan, I think organizations have always had to innovate. The companies that we see today as being very successful, they have always been more innovative than their peers. And that's why they are successful today. I think that's always been the case. But I think what may have changed is that there's an increased sense of urgency because there is an increased pace of change that is happening around them. And that increased pace of change, that's potential for disruption, is taking place across nearly every industry. And so the idea about innovation, the focus on innovation has really gathered momentum. And also some of this disruption may now come from unconventional places, right? So if you look at the financial services, today we are consuming some financial services from companies that originally started in ride-hailing, food delivery. And so that disruption is turning up from new places that companies may not traditionally expect. And all that has created an even greater awareness that people need to innovate, they need to think about how to change, and organizations need to think about how to evolve.
Right. Do you think, is it forced by circumstance you must innovate or else be left behind or maybe even irrelevant already?
Well, companies always had to change. But if we look at the last couple of years, we can certainly see that there are a few trends that are really coming up into the forefront. And there are also certain technology areas that have been maturing, and all of which creates a situation where there are clear areas where businesses need to change, and there are clear areas where innovation can happen. If you're primarily a B2C business, right, online, offline touch points have been evolving as more people settle into a flexible work arrangement that is not just a response to a pandemic, but likely going forward, the new norm. Consumer motivations and perspectives in terms of how they think about consumption, sustainability, and the values they expect brands to have, that has changed too. And so that affects the kind of brands that they want to embrace. And if you are a B2B business, then it's really going to be about the cost pressures business has been facing, given that economic growth has been affected by the global pandemic over the last couple of years. But even in that, different industries have been affected differently, right? So I think the tech industry has fared a lot better. And then globally, talent challenges. We cannot get enough people to be able to not just focus on growth, but sometimes to even have the ability to maintain normal operations. And that's just on the customer end. If you look at the technology end, there's certainly been some big developments. One is mobile centricity. Consumers are interacting more and more primarily through mobile devices. So the challenge here is that complicated services and applications now need to be presented through mobile. And how do you make complicated services beautiful and easy to use?
So from what you're saying is that actually the consumer perspectives and expectations has also changed. That requires better innovation from rather than business as usual, right?
That's right. Besides that mobile centricity that I was talking about, the other area has been in data science and AI. All organizations now have a tremendous amount of data. In fact, we as consumers, as individuals, we generate a lot of data. And it's not just humans as well. There are an exponential increase in the number of connected devices. And those devices also generate data. So imagine you are a company. How can you take advantage of all this data, all this interconnectivity? What does it mean? And how do you use those information to generate insights to help you figure out how to innovate and in which direction to innovate?
You give us a very nice map of the landscape that we're actually inheriting and moving into. So I understand that your work at NCS Next has innovation as a core business pillar. Now, I wanted to ask you, right, based on what you are working on, what are the kinds of innovation for growth can we expect to see in the near future, and which of these actually hold the most promise?
If I look across at the various technology trends that is impacting organizations, I think the combination of data and cloud and the ways that companies can bring those two capabilities together to innovate is probably the one that I think is going to create a most interesting impact for the organization. And that's because I can see that impact taking place in multiple layers, both affecting top line, bottom line, and also in various ways allowing a business to think about what business am I in, what is my new job to be done, and then therefore set the stage to rethink their business model and potentially new services.
Wow, there's a lot of value creation going on. Do you have any more details or specifics into some of these value creation areas?
I can give some examples in terms of using AI applications, and fundamentally behind that also cloud technology. Virtual assistant as the frontline customer service agent, you know, reading sentiments, anticipating response, and pulling from it the body of knowledge that the organization may have about a particular customer. Not only does it increase customer satisfaction, but it also can reduce the cost to serve. But that same capability also have the ability to support your employees internally, helping them perform some of their tasks better, improving productivity. So application of a particular technology area has the ability to influence top line and has the ability to improve bottom line.
So, well, so it actually does both as well, right? External and internal at the same time. Oh, most of the time we always think that value creation is only for external and we forgot about ourselves.
Yeah, even something like just virtual assistant, if a company gets better and that the way that they can apply it, the kind of use cases that they can work on increases, right? So it's only going to be limited by your imagination and your creativity.
And you mentioned something very exciting, right? Which is the amount of data that we are actually generating based on our normal lifestyles and our current lifestyles. Could you tell us a little bit about some of these innovations that we can expect in those particular areas as well? I mean, we create so much data and digital footprint these days, right? Is there anything that we can create value out of in that area?
So first of all, data take many, many forms and by itself really needs context. Otherwise, it's very hard for an organization to figure out what is the right data. We are inundated by quantity, but it is quality that matters. And that quality is going to be defined by what areas that you are focusing, what are the growth areas, and therefore you know what is the right data. So for example, if a shopping mall in the business that they are operating, and these are some of the interesting conversations that we have with our customers, right? So a shopping mall can be looking at using video and crowd analytics to analyze footfall. But they can go further, right? And go beyond footfall and do some profile analysis. And with that data, they can change the way they determine pricing their tenants. compared to in the past. So it allows greater flexibility and it's also more data driven. And the original crowd analytics that may have been used to do people counting, safe distancing, now has this additional layer of value once they think about what is the potential value that that data brings to them.
Right. Besides just the external part, which is all the consumers out there, I'm assuming that there should be also a variant of this particular data intelligence that we're gathering for. And it's actually going to be useful for organizations within as well, right?
Yes. You know, we all face a severe labor crunch and none of us have enough talent to do all of the things that we want to pursue as an organization. And so we also see examples where innovations are starting to help customers deal with the labor intensity nature of their business, such that you can reduce the labor intensity, but then through that process, you change the fundamental economics of your business. One area that we are seeing companies do a lot more of is to consider the use of service robots. Use of service robots can be in sectors such as F&B, but also areas like healthcare. Now, initially, I think this is to deal with the labor crunch. But then when you are able to orchestrate service robots to deal with a certain level of tasks, you fundamentally can adjust a little bit the labor intensity of your business. But then you also allow the people that you have in the business to move on to higher value tasks, which also ultimately helps with your employee satisfaction as well.
Oh yes, that's very important. That's an important scorecard to do well in. So many that you've just mentioned, right? Especially with areas for innovation. I do think that a lot of organizations and senior leaders tend to struggle a little bit in this particular area. Where do I begin? Is there a roadmap, framework, or method to all this madness and chaos that you're seeing, right? To kickstart the process.
I would say the first step is to start with people. And I would suggest that organizations can start by looking at what are the pain points that customers as well as employees are facing. And there are many, many ways to get that information, right? Customers may have been complaining, maybe not directly to you, but sometimes they complain on social media. So it's good to know what they are talking there as well. Now, employees, if you ask them, most employees will be able to say what are the areas of their work that's making them really frustrated. So from just listening, you know, like listening to customers, listening to employees, you will find many good areas to start ideating. So that's with the people. The other layers that I think organizations can look at to add on to that perspective is to say, what are best-in-class organizations doing? And what are they doing well? What are their plans? And those best-in-class may be from your industry, maybe from other industries that there's an opportunity to learn from the best. The third is actually the technology scanning. Not so that technology leads what you do, but rather to get a sense of what are the advances in technology that may now support your ideas, and so some of your ideas can become feasible. Then bring all of those together, right? In NCS, we have a framework that we use, which we call the Digital Inside and the Digital Outside Framework, to help clients map out what are the potential initiatives that they want to embark on, but also to think about the trade-offs. Some things are easier to do, but less impact. Some things are harder to do, but needs a higher level of investment. So where would you like to start? And every organization may have different starting points.
Right, and so you're sort of thinking, what's your risk appetite and your readiness to invest in this particular space as well, right? That makes a huge, huge difference. All these upsides to this, and it's quite interesting, right? What would be the watch-outs and challenges when it comes to embarking on innovation? Because that's your core business. What are the challenges that I'm sure that will come along the way as well?
As leaders of organization, I think there are some important decisions and things to focus on. One is to decide where should innovation sit. Who is responsible for driving it and who is responsible for driving the outcomes? At a high level, organizations can make two choices. One is they can choose to innovate at the edge, or they can choose innovation to be at the core. So at the edge often means that you set up a separate team, separate business unit, or separate group of people, and then you cultivate the right culture and capabilities in a small team. It is a faster way to explore new technologies and new business ideas, and so you don't disrupt the regular core of the business, but it may be harder to integrate successful innovations later on. Or you can choose to innovate at the core, much harder, and then it definitely would require you to look at cultural change within the broader organization. But when you get that right, the potential to transform will be much higher.
Right. And this is not just a technology thing that we have to worry about, but also the change culture. It's both technology and people coming together so that it can happen, isn't it?
It's actually the hardest. It is almost never about the technology. It is actually about culture. It's about people.
So the innovation culture. I'm going to come to you and ask you more about those. How to develop that kind of culture. It doesn't come naturally, does it?
It's a very human tendency to be a bit resistant to change. You know, innovation itself, by its very definition, is about new methods, new ways of doing things, even a new way to do an existing thing, but better. So there's a natural tendency to be resistant. And I think leaders need to be very conscious of that. And they need to address that if they want to make sure that the organization become more innovative and that innovations are able to thrive and be, you know, adopted within the larger organization.
Right. And for them, that everyone should take ownership. It's not just like the select few would be the key drivers and then everybody else just become a passenger and along the bus kind of thing. So now, if the confluence of ideas, technology and people are what will drive a successful as well as a sustainable innovation economy, what do you think are the kinds of technologies that we should be then focused on to be considered innovative? We know that human capital is definitely, and culture is definitely a very play an important part. But let's pick a simple one, right? What technologies then would be considered innovative that we should be focusing on then?
Actually, I wouldn't focus on technology because technology is actually a very fast changing space. And existing technologies always run the risk of becoming obsolete and something new will come and take its place. Instead, I think as an organization, as leaders of organization, the leaders need to help the organization have the ability to generate, validate, and act on good ideas all the time. And then to ensure that you support the people in your organization that are willing to embrace innovation and play an active role. And then they know then how to identify the right technology to support the implementation of the ideas that they have.
Having a good partner like NCS Next is definitely going to be very helpful because you are the one who's been there, done that, and can guide us along the way, right?
We definitely would love to help them take a look at the challenges that they face, yes.
Have you ever encountered situations where being innovative means that new ways, new technologies, completely different? What about the kind of skills that the manpower and the culture, the employees and the teams that we need to have that are essential for them to thrive in such an environment?
You know how in Singapore we used to have the 5 C's? So I think we need a new set of 5 C's for the new innovation economy. Let me think what the 5 C's can be, right? One is creativity, the ability to be creative, to generate ideas, to solve problems, right? To be good at problem solving. The second is curiosity, the ability to learn, to be open to new knowledge, new technology, to be curious about what is going on, not just in your industry, but in the larger economy, so that you are then able to bring in new things to the organization. Third C is collaboration, the ability to work with others, not just internally, but externally as well. Because in the innovation economy, you cannot afford within your organization to have all these internal silos. You also very often need to work and partner with other entities. So the ability to collaborate becomes very key. The fourth C is communications. There must be good lines of communication. We are talking about changing and transforming and introducing new things in the organization. So within the organization, leaders need to be able to get their messages out, but you also need to be able to get messages in from throughout the organization so there's a good feedback loop going on. Then the fifth C is change management. How to make sure that the changes you want truly gets adopted. Those changes stick and then the norms change. Then you get true transformation.
All you've mentioned, these are not technical skills, but according to the way I'm going to use the vocabulary from SkillsFuture, they call it general skills competencies that you've mentioned. So it seems that the higher cognitive function, concept-based like innovation, requires more of these general skills and the ability to be good at those things, rather than just purely focus on the technical skill sets, is it?
Actually, the technical skills will come into the picture, but these 5 C's that I'm talking about are these horizontal capabilities that I think is very important for organizations and individuals. Where the technical skills come in, for example, is when I have a clearer idea what those plans are. So if you have an automation initiative throughout your organization, at some point, you will have groups of people who will have to learn automation tools, and then they will have to then beef up on certain technical solutions. That actually comes later. But the skills, that five, those new 5 C's will be throughout the organization. organization and complements the hard skills. No?
Right, definitely. In other words, that one is just the basic that you must have and be very good at. And then on top of that, when the phase comes to implementation, you need to dive in deeper with all the technical skills as well. So these two comes together. So I wanted to ask you a little bit. Now we've focused a lot on the organization undergoing change or wanting to change. We've got subject matter experts and the people who are helping us with change, like NCS Next, and the workforce or the human capital side that's undergoing changing. But with the innovation economy, there are other players or stakeholders in this ecosystem as well, right? So you've got your policies, the monies, the environment. I would say, what else should we actually bring to it so that this entire ecosystem can truly thrive, from your opinion?
Willingness to change many of the ways that we measure success. I think one of the pitfalls that I've seen, right, with a lot of innovation focus is that they pursue innovation, the organization pursue innovation up to a certain point and it's successful. Now then they stop there and they don't do the next part, which is bring in the innovation to actually change the actual business. That's very, very hard. But if you don't do that last step, then you get a sense that I've tried many things, they were very good. Hey, but my business didn't fundamentally change. And so in the end, that you are still not successful, right? When you think about it at that level.
So I find that very often, especially in the business environment, Singapore as a small country, one of the things that we've noticed is that a lot of the businesses and organizations are also waiting for support structures from the government before they will implement innovation, because they assume, not sure whether that is right or wrongly, that innovation is expensive to the venture. What do you think about that?
Non-innovating is also very expensive. I think we're really looking at inertia, right? Organizations are also behaving like humans. There's a bit of resistance to change. One thing that I do see is that there are actually a lot of, in Singapore, there's a lot of government programs and support for innovation. But the question is that why aren't companies taking advantage of that? And I think here is where leadership becomes really important. So the leader of an organization really responsible for not just the business of today, but also to look ahead and say how to prepare the organization for the business of tomorrow. So I really think it rests on the leadership to make innovation a priority and to recognize the role that innovation plays in helping them maintain and continue to have a successful business. I actually don't think that we necessarily should be talking about more government support. I actually think there's a lot of government support. The question is how to overcome that inertia and start to build some momentum and start doing something now. And then once you start, you know, it can take a life of its own. And then more and more ideas, you will start to have a roadmap of initiatives. And then once you start, then more parts of the organization will come on board. And innovation will take many, many more forms throughout the organization. And when you've seen that done well, you know, I think a really good example of that is actually DBS. So DBS chose to pursue innovation throughout the organization. Very, very hard. And they've done it for a number of years, but you can see that different parts of the organization can innovate, come up with new ideas, and they have been very successful as a digital bank.
Yes, and they've been doing it as a long-term investment rather than a short-term gain, right, when it comes to this kind of innovation, because it changes the entire organization through and through. With all these investments that we're talking about, I'm going to steal three of your C's out of five, right, which I think it was very fun, right, so literally communicate with other partners out there, start collaborating, and get creative. I think that's definitely a great way to be able to start your journey, build up into a sustainable ecosystem. Now, speaking of sustainable, right? So while we're all talking about growth, is there any innovation that you're seeing in the areas of sustainability that you want to talk about as well?
Sustainability has definitely become a topic that's come up a lot more. Even when we are looking at innovation, that change is sustainable. Does that change have an impact on the wider economy and the environment? Is definitely coming up in a lot of the conversations that we are having with clients.
Yes, definitely so. Before we end today, you've given us so much food for thought, right? I just want to hear some personal thoughts for you. Now, given that the current trends are going towards either innovation for sustainability and innovation for growth, and they are not always aligned in the long run, what's your take on where are we heading towards? Are we getting more aligned or tangential as a result?
I think there's still, at the moment, a contradiction. But this topic is coming up because there's really a confluence of a few things, right? There's a move away from a growth at all cost model. People recognize more that there is a cost to the way we have been running our economic activities, and that we want a proper accounting of all of the costs of the economic activity, and there's an unwillingness to pass this down the line to future generations. But at the same time, there is a contradiction, right? So if you look at the consumption of fast retailing or various goods and services, we want the price to be really as low as possible. But at the same time, we want to make sure that the economic activity is sustainable. And I think maybe recently, if you look at what's been in the news, you know, the minting of NFTs and the growing NFT-related economy, certainly there are really a lot of benefits there. But also the concern about the energy consumption based on the underlying technology today. So those contradictions exist. I don't see that being easily resolved, but certainly this idea of questioning whether this economic model is sustainable, the level of conversation has really been rising. And I think at some point, all of us, businesses, people, technology providers, will need to figure out how to solve it.
Thank you so much. Now, is there any parting advice or wishes for the senior leaders listening in?
Yes, it's that their sponsorship is really, really key to the success of innovation in their organization. And the way they sponsor is going to be really important. So their sponsorship needs to demand real change. Innovation is invariably going to be something that there's going to be a natural tendency to face some resistance. For example, if a CEO declares something important, new strategy, new direction, pursuing some new innovation areas. But if they didn't change the people's KPIs, they are not measured to deliver that change, that creates a misalignment and people may choose to continue to stay in their comfort zone. So leaders, your leadership and how you translate your priorities throughout the organization is going to be a very, very important part of whether the innovation is going to be successful or not.
Well, thank you, India. So as a senior leader, that's the call out for you guys out there that, well, start sponsoring to do good and do well at the same time. Thank you so much for your insights and sharing.
Most of all, thank you listeners for tuning in to our QED Changemaker Series podcast. For more information on QED's leadership development solutions, email us at info@qed.sg. That's info@qed.sg. Do remember to subscribe to our channel and be updated on our latest episodes. I'm your host, Ryan Lim, and I look forward to having you in our next episode.